Hello and welcome to episode 175. The Red Wings season is over. Connor, how you doing? I mean, crazy last stretch of games, but you know, we'll jump into that. But how you been?
Yeah, I've been pretty good. You know, just a lot with the house, getting the house ready for the warmer weather now, even outside with a couple kids too. So that always throws a little bit of extra spice in the life. But it's been fun watching the Red Wings. Kind of. I mean, I have a lot to say about them and my overall thought process and where I sit with the current team. And, you know, if you hear a lot about people like, oh yeah, good progress. And then you hear the other half of like, well, they shouldn't have put themselves in that position. So it's kind of weirdly, I don't even know if it's 50-50 with the Red Wings, but there is like a divide of people that I feel like it's the, not blow it up because that means to get rid of like a lot of prospects and get, you know, draft pick, all these things, but it's more of Yzerman hot seat, Lalonde hot seat, underperformed, get a lot of these guys out of here, blah blah blah. Or the Yzerman said it's going to be slow and steady. They showed progress, they showed, you know, resiliency and all this. So like there's two halves, and those are probably split into people that get a cup, they see the cup half full or half empty. I honestly see it both ways, but I do lean more one way than the others. We can dive into that later, but it was just almost a storybook ending, but this is the real world and that's what happens. So it's yeah. a huge bummer.
No doubt. I missed like 2 weeks of hockey when I was in Japan. But
oh man, missed some good, it, I don't even know if I can call it good hockey, just like crazy hockey. And it wasn't the Red Wings only. It was crazy just watching every single day. I'd wake up and be like, who's playing? And if it was even back a couple weeks ago when you were gone, probably like Buffalo was in the mix. The Flyers were in the mix. The Islanders were in the mix. Pittsburgh, the Red Wings, obviously, Washington. Every day there was a game that would impact the Red Wings. So that was a lot of fun to feel like you always had something to do at 7, 8, 9 o'clock when there was hockey on. Cause that's my favorite, like this stretch here. People love like Masters. They love Final Four, you know, March Madness. They love super, like, this is my time. I absolutely love hockey, playoff hockey. There's nothing like it. So that's kind of honestly why I like the Masters. I'm like, oh sweet. That means I have 1 week or a week and a half until hockey and I can like, and I love golf too. So it's the perfect segue into just watching sports and having something to do, having something on in the background while you work around the house, do whatever. Just absolutely love it. I wish the Red Wings were in there and I could have that emotional attachment to it. But at the same time, now I just get to watch hockey without any strong feel.
I mean, unbiased, right? Just watch hockey for hockey. I mean, let's just jump into it. So, I mean, we can get the whole time hotel, which the time old tale, which is they were eight points ahead and then they lost it. But let's just fast forward. I mean, the last four games. I think
everybody, even just to like, not that we have to spend a lot of time in that part, because that's just where bulk of my frustration is. And I think every Wings fan, that's where it is. And honestly, that's where, like, the reason why I don't like the fire Yzerman, fire Lalonde type thing is that,
let's talk about that.
I find it difficult to fire somebody over a 10 game stretch. Now, if this is a reoccurring theme over, you know, then if the next year it happens, if there's like stretches where you're playing extremely important hockey, like they have never been in that situation. Now they've had bad 10 game stretches, 15 game stretches, you know, month stretches or whatever that is, but not in that situation where you hold all the cards to be in the playoffs. All you have to do is go 500. Not even, as we found out, you really have to go like win 30% of those, that 10 games. They went like 1-9 or whatever that actual stat was. So I get it, but I just, with that happening one time, I don't think you can fire the coach or the GMs because of that one time.
So no. And I mean that, to your point, right? That's been kind of echoing. I was at a game one day. I can't remember what game it was, but that was kind of a theme, you know, fire Lalonde, you know, what's he doing? What's with this team? you know, it's got to be something with the locker room. So he's got to be in there. And I'm like, well, that kind of goes back with the players, right? Like, and to your point, you know, we're moving into a season where we have 9 free agents. I think if I count it correctly, 9 free agents coming off. A couple of them, you know, Sider, Raymond, those are guaranteed signs. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Right. But then there's a couple other ones. Valeno. I miss Valeno. Excuse me. So he's on there too. So 10. So we have 10 people come off the books. There's a couple that I feel like we don't need to re-sign or we should get rid of to open up spots for prospects or other players to get, you know, time on the ice. We saw Edmondson at the end of the season, you know, getting some time, which is nice to see. We'll get into him. I think it was nice seeing him play up because it kind of exposed his youngness or his, I don't know how to word that, but like, he still has room to grow.
And honestly, because our defense are so bad, he looked great.
I didn't saying I could see there's a couple potential giveaways. That I saw, or you know, a couple of mistakes that he made that he immediately is like, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is in the last probably two games he had one in each game. The problem is that I think that right now Edmondson, when you see 77 out there, he's under a microscope because of all of the past couple years. Everybody's been like, can't wait for him to come up. Kind of like Berggren was before. Like every single time he was out there, you noticed him out there, not in like, oh man, he's controlling the puck, he's doing great. It's like, oh, I've been waiting to watch this guy for 3 years. Let's see how he does. And the reason with Edmondson that I'm like, I give him a little bit of a, and I know this isn't what you're saying, but I'm talking more so to like other people, that I give him a little bit benefit of the doubt. And I think a lot of people do too. Like, he's young, obviously he's getting up to speed, but our defense are so bad that Petrie, Sherratt, Wallman at times, although he makes up for it offensively, Gostisbehere, who also makes up for it offensively, especially in the front half of the year, but they're giving the puck up all the time. Where these two giveaways that I was, you know, just come to mind with Edmondson, that happens every single game with these other defensemen. They're so, so bad. And I know you're not going to have a team of, 6 Roman Yossis or Hedmans or Siders, even I'll throw them in there, like Foxes or Makars, whatever. But you have to have two guys that are good. And I think that Sider is there and Edmondson can get there next year. And I think by the end of next year, he's going to be like a legit top two defenseman. Just the way he is so poised and doesn't get rattled, which at times he's getting used to that speed. So it does bite him in the ass, which I think that's what you're alluding to. But give him another, like start the season up there, give him another half year. He's such a good skater at being 6'6". He has a great shot. He has a great like presence and he's so relaxed out there that him and Sider are never going to get rattled. And Sider showed that right away from day one. I just think that you have those two guys. You just need to have guys that aren't horrible. And
yeah, I mean,
like, they've been horrible. Some of these defensemen.
I mean, that's putting it lightly, right? I mean, I think that's our biggest need in the off season is the blue line and goaltending. And nothing against Alex Lyon. That's not nothing against him at all. I'm just saying,
a little bit against him.
Yeah.
Some slightly. Of the goals were, I back up the goalies more.
Oh, you 100%. Connor is, I feel like, the goaltender's best friend. And if he's saying some of those goals are bullshit.
Cause I hate when people go, there's like 20 goals against, they look at save percentage. And then you look at the goals. I'm like, well, those are 3 backdoor tap-ins and a giveaway in the defensive zone where he had no chance and rung off the post, like whatever. But his angles were not good at times. I thought he did give them a chance in the last 15 games that he played. He was doing okay in stretches. The last 5 games that he played, maybe like 3 games, were not good. Not good.
If I'm being honest, like last night, Reimer, he was kind of, he had some good goals at some time, like good saves at sometimes, and some of them was like, what the like his position was so weird to me. I'm like, why are you over there? What are you doing with that? And again, I've never played goalie in my life, but like some of them, he just looks so out of position. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a big need. And one thing I was going to bring up is
they're awesome like they're not 1Bs. They're not like, oh, you have a good goalie and then you have Reimer or like Husa. Like Husa's probably the same way. I don't think we would have been in the postseason if he was playing. He's maybe a touch better, more consistent than Lyon, but maybe not a better goalie. I think that we have three number two goalies. Yes. And they're good number twos. Yes. They're probably one of the better number twos, but you don't have a number one.
And so one thing I was gonna bring up is Kosa. You know me. I was always a hater, but he's been tearing it up lately for Grand Rapids and doing very well. So I would be very shocked to see him not get a very good look during preseason training camp and everything. If I'm being honest, like it'd be silly for them not to look there. I mean, especially again, when we go over the free agents, there's a lot of prospects.
But like, what do you do? I just don't want to leave the goalie situation though.
Reimer's a free agent. You don't re-sign him.
Yeah, but Kosa's not your starting goalie. Can't be.
No, I don't disagree. And so you have Lyon on the books at 900,000 until 2025, and you have Husso this at 4.7 until 2025.
Honestly, they're going to stay it. I think they're going to stay with Husso and Lyon.
And just ride that out until next year.
What are you going to? Yeah, until you bring Kosa, and maybe at the end of next year or at some point next year. Honestly, it's probably going to be 2 years before Kosa's up. Maybe give him another year in Grand Rapids. If he's lighting it up and needs to be up, then you pull him up. But you have too much money with Husso. Hopefully he can stay healthy and maybe he's just can be more consistent. He was in and out of the lineup way too much to even get a good look this year, honestly. Yeah. You couldn't even tell. Which was a bummer. I think this is as the rebuild continues. And I think it'd be a shame to call it a rebuild now, but like where Yzerman started to where it is now, this is by far the most difficult decisions that he has in the offseason.
By far,
and I said that last year, like, and that's a good thing. It should become harder and harder. But what I'm thinking is that you have a decision to make at goalie. You know, that's tough. People will, if Husso and Lyon don't do well and that's who he brings back, people are going to be super upset. You have the 9 or 10, you have the 10 free agents that you talked about. You better choose wisely. Raymond and Sider will get locked up. Not worried about that. But I think the biggest, what?
So I'm just looking at, I forgot to look at the good old non-rostered players. Bergeron's an RFA. Hirose isn't. I mean, these are irrelevant. I'm just let me go over Bergeron. Bergeron. So Bergeron's an RFA. That's about the only one that's non-rostered. That's do you do something with that? Do you just let him walk? Do you, like what
doesn't even matter. What? Irrelevant. Couldn't care less.
That's how I'm. That I think that's where Yzerman is too. It's like, all right, dude, you didn't show us anything when you came up here. You can just go on and figure out
yourself. No, what I think the most difficult part is that you have a lot of prospects that are just a year short of being in the NHL.
Oh yeah.
The forwards. So the biggest decision why Yzerman's going to get paid the big bucks is the worst thing that you want to do is bring them up when they maybe are ready technically, but they're not going to be producing in the way that you want them to be in the NHL. So it's almost like you would have rather them be playing and the season ended like this with them on the team, because now next year it's going to be a learning curve. You can't stay consistent. You can't be battling for a second wild card right now for next year. I feel like you have to you have to be where Tampa Bay was at the minimum. So solidly in that wild card race, you know, the first wild card, competing to be in the division, top three in the division. That's where I think next year where they need to be. Do you bring some of the prospects up? If you do that, then you have to let some of your free agents, you can't reassign them, but you know what you're getting with those guys. If you bring some of the prospects up and they don't perform, then you're kind of screwed. You know you're going to be in the same position you were this year. If you do bring them up, or maybe you like make the same signings, then you have to go out and get a big name free agent, which I think he has to do no matter what. Like the roster right now is clearly not built to win in the playoffs. So it's not.
So real quick, let's just go over the free agents. We got Raymond, Sider, Gostisbehere, Kane, Perron, Sprong, Fisher, Zarnik, Reimer, and then Valeno. So Raymond, Sider, guarantee he signs. We got it. They're locked up. So
yeah, probably 8x8 plus.
Yeah, so that's a given. You really want to re-sign Kane, in my opinion. It'd be silly not to try to go out there and sign him. But
well, I think that one I'm almost like putting it to the side because it's just going to be what Kane wants. You know, I don't think it's going to be really money related. It's just like, does he want to come back? Does he want to go to a different team? So like, if he doesn't come back, I'm not going to blame the Red Wings for being like, oh, what, we couldn't match that. It's like, maybe he just want to go to a different team. I don't know.
And that's what I'm saying. Do you feel like if Kane's like, I want $4 million, Eisman's like, okay. Or do you feel like he's like, no, we're only going to pay you 2.75 like we did last year?
No, I mean, I think $4 million probably. I think you do it. When you look at it, if you say, okay, now you're going to have a full off season of getting stronger. You know where you're playing with the team. You know who you can work out with. You're going to be with DeBrincat. You know, you're going to be with and when I say with him, I mean in the off season, they're good friends. They can be training together. Mm-hmm. Get with the training staff of the Red Wings and. Like do all these things. I think you can't $4 million at a point per game player if that's where he's going to be. I know he's a year older, but I think that he would actually get better next year compared to where he is this year, or at least stay very consistent. Like he's going to get his. If you look at a $4 million player that's averaging 75, he was on pace for like 75 points.
Yeah, 47 points in about like 40 games, I think, or 46 games or something like that. I think.
Yeah, it was like 40. Yeah, exactly. Like high 40s and like. High 40 mm-hmm. games played. So he's right there at a point per game. I don't think $4 million is too much of a stretch.
So do you let Perron, Sprong, Fisher, Zarnik? I mean, I feel like you let Zarnik walk. That's a given.
Well, it's just like Zarnik's not going to be. Yeah. The only one that is a little like all of those guys really, it just depends on term. I like Perron. I like Sprong.
Perron 47 points, Sprong 43 points.
Yeah, I mean the only issue with Sprong is that he takes up a lineup spot and doesn't play any minutes. Like he plays seven, 8 minutes a game. So I think what did he average per game?
Give me 1 second. Spronger averaged, of course it doesn't show time on ice, you crappy NHL.
Yeah, and maybe I'm way off. Maybe it was like 15 minutes or something, but I don't think it was. I think it was not much.
I mean, let's see here. I hate when it doesn't give you like a good option to like pull it up.
Do you need me to do it?
No, I can do it. Leave me alone. Yeah, so goaltending is a big thing that needs to happen in the offseason. Blue line, like we talked about, Spronger had 12 minutes time on ice.
That was his average?
Yeah, 76 games.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, I guess that's kind of low for, that's like a third, fourth line player, which, I mean, he is that. I'm not saying it's not, but it's tough. Like, all right, so the reason I was bringing up time on ice is that he shouldn't be making a lot. So if he's not going to make a lot, that's fine to come back, but you have to know that that's taking up a lineup spot from somebody that could be playing 15, 16 minutes. So it's just, again, would I like to see him back? Do I like watching him? I think he should have actually got more ice time. He's not great in the defensive zone, which is clearly his weak point, which is why he doesn't play in situations in the defensive zone. He's an offensive player.
Right.
So, I don't know. A lot of those guys, I really don't feel too strongly about, where if you told me that, hey, like Sprong, Zarnik, Valeno, even though I'm fine with him, but like these guys were gone, I'd be like, I'm completely fine with that.
I mean, we can't bring the same team in we had this year. I just don't think that's going to work. Like we're not going to get better. The team as a whole is not going to get better to the point where we're going to be more competitive. I don't feel. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some moves made. There's got to be some changes, whether it be on the blue line, third, fourth line. I mean, honestly, I think our first line and our second line are pretty well locked up with what we have currently. I don't see much movement.
Well, I think you're right, but we saw that we have a zero depth in the center position Larkin gone.
With Larkin out, right? I mean, that Connor, you bring up a great point there. I mean,
Kopp is the worst contract on the team for me.
At 5.6.
Yeah, for what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth what he's. I mean, I can think of other players that are worth what he's getting paid.
Well, and he's just not. I mean, his plays are just not good.
I mean, Kopp was 79 games played, 13 goals, 20 assists for 33 points. To put in perspective, Compher.
How much does Compher make?
Compher, like nothing.
Yeah, I mean
Compher's at. Oh no, he's making 5.1.
And he had 48 points.
Yeah, 48 points, 19 goals. So. Yeah, I mean, I like Compher though. I felt like he's a grittier player that'll go in the corner, which I like.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like he's better than Andrew Kopp. Kopp is supposed to be better. He's playing the center, which is more difficult. Bottom line is we saw that our center is lacking when Larkin goes out. We don't have
so what do you do at that point? Do you go out and sign somebody?
Yeah, I think this is where you have to do, whether it's not a centerman, you need to bulk up somebody to either move over to center that you have currently on the team that can play, or you go out and find a center. Center is like extremely difficult to go find. But they have to go find somebody in the free agency.
Where does Rasmus cap space?
Huh?
Third line.
I mean, third line. Yeah. I mean, he's a third line player. He should be third line player.
Yeah. He's a centerman. I was just kind of curious where you see him playing. I mean, he was playing wing, I thought.
Can play wing. Like honestly, in a perfect world, you have Rasmussen playing with Kopp and another and like a right winger, somebody like a Sprong.
Yeah,
you have Rasmussen who and Kopp who can both play defensively. Sprong, and that's like a, I don't know, that's a pretty good third line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so Connor and I can both agree that we need new players or to change the depth moving into the offseason. Another key point, don't let other teams decide your fate. I mean, for God's sake. Like everyone's pissed at Philly. I mean, we wouldn't even be pissed at Philly, to your point, if we would have won a couple more games in that 10 game stretch. It's just like you did it to yourself. So
most of it's on the players, but I get the frustration at Lalonde of, okay, did I agree with every lineup that he had? No, he was changing them a ton during that time, which I think you have to, but I didn't really like a lot of the lineups. And then if they come out flat, like
what got me is a couple times when he pulled DeBrincat and Kane out of the same lineup, which I get they're trying to spread the wealth, but at the same time, those two just gel together. It's almost like when you like,
but they played well without each other at the end of the season because they weren't playing together at the end.
No. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, except sometimes on power plays. There's a couple lines I'd see them playing. I don't know if it's like in transition or what, but I mean, I went to the last couple of games, like, holy shit, the last game at home, right? Home appreciation. Oh my God. Talk about it. Talk about a nail biter. I mean, the game starts out. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is what's going to happen in the last freaking home game. Like, this is bull crap. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like an appreciated fan at all. did I feel like an appreciated fan when that game ended? And then yesterday, like Perron with a clapper at 3.3 seconds left. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, no, it was insane.
I mean, what a way to end the season. Like that's how I could, that's the one way I can put it as a positive is what a way to end the season when it comes to not making the playoffs, coming out with a bang. And I'm hopefully that's momentum moving into the off season for them to be like, all right, we're not going to be in that position next year.
Yeah. You know, what would be interesting, not to like kind of change topics, but as we talk about where the Red Wings need to be for next year, and we just talk about centermen, like is a guy like Nate Danielson, that's your basically your Dylan Larkin to have a first and second line guy. Is he ready? Does he need another year? I don't know. I mean, you have guys like Casper, right, who seem to play well. You have, Carter that did okay, right? And I think that's going to be the difficult part for Yzerman is what do you do with some of these players that are right on the brink of coming up? And again, Danielson has, he has the probably the highest hopes right away as far as forwards go, because he was such a high pick and he had a lot of eyes on him. He did well last year. He does play like a Larkin in that two way. He's not going to be putting up 140 points or anything like that, like some of these other crazy studs.
I think he's grittier than Larkin, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Larkin's pretty gritty though.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That's a bad way to put it. I'm not saying Larkin, honestly, for a while I was kind of like, he's kind of seems soft, but nah, dude, Larkin's a great two-way player. He'll go in the corners. I just meant like Danielson, like I feel like this is a little like a half a click more, just smidge more. Real quick on Carter, he had 57 games played, 16 goals, 20 assists for 36 points. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. I still think you're looking for a touch more as he becomes like he's supposed to be that offensive type guy, right? But I mean, definitely not bad by any means.
No, so to your point, we got a lot of players, you know, we got to look at and make changes to or sign up. Real quick, just to note some playoff history. Last playoff series win was in 2013. Our last appearance was in 2016. Currently, we have the second longest drought behind the good old Buffalo Sabres, who last won a playoff in 2007. So some of y'all might not even been out of high school when that happened.
When did you say it was?
2007. I was not out of high school. I was still in high school.
Yeah. No, I was too.
A young buck. Real quick on the Masters, Scotty Scheffler. Holy shit. That guy just is ridiculous. I'm calling him the modern day Tiger Woods just because no one's going to win as much as Tiger Woods won. But Scotty Scheffler is just putting it to, dude, that dude's on another level.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his stats, he's right there. He's the closest thing to Tiger since Tiger.
I didn't look at his stats.
That's not just like a take. That's like a statistically backs that up.
Oh, shit. That was me giving a hot take. Connor backing up his statistics. I love it. I'm looking forward to a good offseason. Stanley Cup playoffs. Real quick, Connor, who do you got? Who do you got winning, do you think?
Oh, man. I haven't really even thought about, like, maybe I'll save it till next time, but there's a couple teams that just jump off right now. The West is like a complete crapshoot. I think that is going to be a gauntlet. In the East is too, but like I haven't watched enough Dallas, but every time I watch Dallas, I'm like, they look like the best team in the NHL.
real quick, on the wild card spot, because I know a lot of people are wondering why the Red Wings did not make it. Connor, can you explain why, even though we had more wins?
Yeah, the tiebreaker is, points first and then regulation wins. So we had more wins. I think one more win technically when you look at the win column. But when you look at regulation wins, they had more, unfortunately. I think like Pittsburgh had more, the Islanders, like we weren't close when you look at the actual breakdown. When I looked a week or two ago, we needed to win outright, which we did not. But I don't necessarily agree with that's what should be the first tiebreaker. I think it should be wins, not. And I'm not just saying, I would say this whether the Wings got in or whether they didn't. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, why is a win counted less? Maybe because of 3-on-3, they're putting some weight in that and like the overtime shootout, but then change the rules. It should be a win.
That's going to be my exact point, Connor. If that's the case, then change the rules because you're the ones that set it up that way. It shouldn't be, technically have more wins, but they won more in regulation. Well, who the hell cares? That's kind of all I had. I just kind of want to touch on the season. I think the Red Wings did a good job. They had more points this year than I was expecting, if I'm being completely honest. They're exactly where I thought they would be though, but I didn't think it'd come down to this to literally the last game.
Yeah, the only reason that I'm frustrated, if you told me at the beginning of the season that they were going to play consistent hockey and then at the end battle it out, the reason why I think fans and myself are more frustrated is that they put themselves in such a good spot and they just squandered it, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, during that stretch, I think that was the most mad I've ever been as a season ticket holder.
Right. Like me, going me to too. The game. I like barely wanted to go to the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like going to the games and this watch goes like an embarrassment. It's just like, what is going on? I was like, is this the Red Wings from 2016? Or excuse me, 2018. Was that the bad year? 2018.
There's a lot of bad years.
I don't know. One year they won like 22 games. That's horrible. But yeah, that's kind of all I had, Connor. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, let's get the puck out of here and we'll see you soon.